Paul, and it's lovely to be back in Novigil. It's been way too long since I was here as audience or guest. So, delighted to be back, and especially delighted to be reading with Jesse, because Jesse doesn't read very often. So, it's a great honour to be here with Jesse tonight. House of recurring dreams. Come and stay in my house of cats, where the walls are whisper thin, the beds unmade, the doors unhinged, their scribbles in the dust. Spiders work the ceilings, the floorboards tend to speak, the eyes in all the photographs will blink while you're asleep. The stairs go up, the stairs go down, Queen Cat will lick your hand. The TV wakes when no one's home, the windows all look out. The door is open, the door is closed, the address is here now there. I'll serve you tea and pretend cake in my garden of thin air. As Mary mentioned, I travelled up from Kerry tonight, and as you all know, Kerry is full of fairies. They stopped the building of roads. Roads cave in if you go near them. It's all true. I know you might not believe the Healy Rays, but come to Kerry.
I know, they have a nice road.
It's all true. So this is the poem about the fairies. So come down to Kerry if ye dare. The Stray. If you must enter the fairy field at evening, fill your pockets with iron. If they put the Stray on you for their amusement, or for using their land as a shortcut home, you'll walk forever in circles, unable to tell the grass from the gate from the hedge, tell the grass from the sky, tell the river from the road. When a road appears at your feet, throw a nail ahead of you to check your ground. Watch it splash and sink through water where they'd see you drown. Divert your path. Keep walking. No matter how tired, don't lie down, or they will put the sleep of 100 years on you. Sidestep any obstacles they raise before you. If you will come to a river, toss another piece of iron ahead of you. If it fails to stink, step forward. Walk on water until the water reveals itself as ground. Only then are you free of them. Don't talk to anyone you meet on the road. Tell no one what befell you, for no one will believe you. Keep your wits about you and cross yourself three times when over the threshold at home. I had a terrible fall, which had nothing to do with fairies or drink or anything. actually something under 2 years ago, I fell at home in the kitchen writing a poem. Actually, the first poem I read there, I was writing that, and I did myself untold damage. You think I'd fallen off Maggerton Mountain? I tore the ligaments of both my feet. I broke my two heel bones and several other bones in my feet. And don't ask, I have no idea. All on coffee at 1 o'clock in the day. Anyway, as a result, I spent a huge amount of my life stretched on the couch with two enormous feet on ice, staring at them. And I spent a lot of my life on the internet looking up cures and all sorts of things that I wouldn't maybe normally look up. Which led me, I won't tell you about most of them. I landed anyway, because being born in a little village called Skartigen, we were full of little superstitions and folk cures, and I had a friend who'd come in and from home and she'd say, you know, you should put cabbage leaves on them. And at that stage I'd try anything. So it got me anyway onto what's an absolutely brilliant site for research, which is the Dukas.ie website. Brilliant folklore site. You could easily lose 6 weeks of soul and feet on it. So anyway, thanks to Scart and to Lucas. Remedies. For a sore head, weave a close cap out of ivy. Wear for 3 days and three nights. To stem a nosebleed, tie your two small fingers with a woolen thread. When suffering with toothache, hold a frog in your mouth. For a sore on the leg, paste it with cream from the top of the milk. Let the dog lick it off. If struck by a pain in the side, spit under a big stone and bless yourself. Then run home as fast as you are able. For a tightness in the chest, finish off any milk a ferret leaves out. If a needle goes through your body, press a fox's tongue at the point of entry to draw the needle out. For measles, boil sheep dung in milk and drink the liquid. A sure cure for thin legs is to wrap them in cobwebs for 3 nights. If your toes are crookened by corns, walk barefoot in the grass when the dew is on it. If a headache comes down on you, walk backwards along the road for 3 miles. For general well-being, boil robin round the hedge in spring water. Take as a tonic with meals. For a person down the room on their deathbed, send for the wise one. She will screech, "Get out of my vision," at the first three creatures to pass by the door. Although never a fool, death will be fooled by the bargain and take them instead. See, I'm all in favour of the internet. Everyone is anti-internet at the moment. It saved my sanity for months. So, I was rambling around on it one day, I think on Facebook or something, and I saw a photograph. I had just actually written a poem about pareidolia, you know, seeing faces and things, and suddenly I saw this picture on the internet, and apparently it was of the Blessed Virgin. She appeared somewhere up the country. This is last year sometime. And there was a photo of the cloud with the Blessed Virgin. Trending on Twitter. The Blessed Virgin Mary was due to appear at 8 p.m. above the roadside grotto. It was all over Twitter. The faithful gathered, rosary beads at the ready. The skeptics arrived with their iPhones and quotes from sociological studies, having googled the phenomena of apparitions during the drive-in. The church played it down, played both sides as much as they were able, trying to sound faithful and liberally progressive at the same time. Their spokesman was careful to avoid any questions concerning Magdalene laundries or the tomb babies, and they couldn't have the Ferns report dug up again. Virginity had always caused them so much bother. More people showed up than was expected. It was a calm evening and the rain held off. The hopeful launched into litanies of rosaries, out loud and in earnest, to help Our Lady along. Mm-hmm. The others remained quiet, caught up in their own anticipation of nothing happening. At 8:02, someone posted a photo on Facebook, and there she was, or was not, depending on whose comments you read, in her halo of sun, her cloak of cumulus. There's a great saying in Kerry, any young one getting married, her mother, a wise mother, would tell her that you should always have your running away money. This is a kind of a take on that. It's not about Mary Book, but it's just a phrase kind of stuck in my head. Her running away money. A girl child can hide a small frog in her cupped fingers, her best ribbon inside the pages of a book, a bird feather between pillow slip and pillow, a fallen egg in a nest of cotton wool, her own self in the canopy under the firs, her voice in a choir of birdsong, her thoughts in a spew of chatter, big brown pennies down the slit in her mattress, the running away money that enables her to stay. I'm going to read this one because it's in the Salmon anthology, I think it's there, which I was very honoured to be in, the Watchful Heart, a new generation of Irish poets, which was published by Salmon. She forgot that one, imagine.
Sorry.
And was edited by John McGreen. What She Sings Of. Once in a time he was the sky clothing me, the warm earth supporting me, the all in all of every night and day to me. He was salt waves washing me, he was wind caressing me, fire igniting me, the first and last of every cause that moved me. He was fish that jumped for me, bird that sang for me, beast that nourished me, the craving and cure for every need inside of me. Now he is bright ship pulling away from me, white sail gone from me, rough wake drowning me. He is shimmer of scales growing out of me. Soon I will sing for him, comb out my hair for him, draw him back to me, lure him down to me. Mermaids get awfully bad press. This is a bit of a boast. Maybe it's not, but I'm delighted, so I'm telling you. If any of you have sisters, brothers, and if your niece, you're all too young to have children, it's old. So I'm mending my introduction and doing Leaving Cert from September on. This poem is on the Leaving Cert curriculum. Ooh. And it's on the from September, and it's in my new book, coming out by Jason. My father, long dead. My father, long dead, has become air, become scent of pipe smoke, of turf smoke, of resin, become light and shade on the river, become foxglove, buttercup, tree bark, become corncrake lost from the meadow, become silence, places of calm, become badger at dusk, deer in the thicket, become grass on the road to the castle, become mist on the turret, become dark-haired hero in a story written by a dark-haired child. And I'm going to finish with this one. I've never read this anywhere. My mother had Alzheimer's for 11 years and lived in our house, hence the House of Recording Dreams, because we were all, none of us had a clue what we were doing for about 10 years there. It's a subject I've written a lot about over the years, and I thought, you know, you think you're finished with a subject, and sometimes you discover the subject mightn't be finished with you. So, this actually, unusually enough for me, this is a prose poem. So we'll see how it goes, because I haven't read it out, except to my little dog, Gizmo, and he loves it. But I test all my poems on him first, and he loves everything I do, so I love him. Preemptive. The morning of her funeral, I don't know the me in the mirror, motherless and 12 years older than before. Before diagnosis, before belief, before anger, before illness proper, disease undeniable before slow decline, before she began to show up dead in my dreams, before every morning I was surprised to see her still there, putting on the kettle and sideswiping the cat, before that spring day we spent working together in my garden, before she said, "Our hair is thick with tangles," before she forgot the answers to all the questions, before we brought her that outfit for the family wedding, before we stood her in for a photograph with the bride and groom, before everyone said how good she looked. New dress, such a perfect fit, touch of makeup just right, before she danced to all the waltzes, before she stayed up half the night, before she forgot the words to the songs, lost melodies, lost airs, lost days, lost years, every moment a moment lost, before I hated myself for knowing even then it was the dress I would bury her in, before the first time she asked me, "Who are you?" In my dreams she had earth on her feet, earth between her fingers. In the supermarket we left a trail of earth down every aisle, food for the living, cooked for the living. Before evenings I rubbed cream into her soft hands. Before death, before this morning, this mirror, before this middle-aged woman, before the child appears, her child, the child I am, the child who knows I am able for this. The child knows everything, if only I'd listen. "Listen," she said, "your hair is thick with tangles." Before the pure white candle I lit, when her soul flew off. Before I finished with mourning. Before our hopeless love for the dying. Before our strange, bright love for the dead, before understanding, before knowing, before writing this.